Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I want to read a few verses to you. I'll start in verse number 15. I'll let you remain seated tonight, and I'm aware of the time. I know we've went a little longer than we normally do before I start preaching, but that's all right. And I'll watch the time tonight. The Bible said this in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let me say this, and then I'll move on from that. I'm going to come back to the verse, but a lot of times when we look at that verse, 99% of the times, we refer that to a preacher. We'll say a preacher needs to study to show himself approved unto God. And I agree with that. I agree 100% with that. I think that if a man's called to preach, a call to preach is a call to prepare. And I think that personally, I think it's good for a preacher to go to Bible college. And you say, well, why do you? I don't think he has to. That does not make him a preacher. God calling him is what makes him a preacher. However, it does teach discipline. If I didn't learn anything else in Bible college, I learned discipline in studying. But I think we ought to be the very best that we can be. That's one reason that I wanted to do my doctorate so bad, is just to be the best I could be for the Lord. Mama called me the night that I got my doctorate, and she said, well, do you feel like more of a preacher? And I said, no. I'm almost positive it was Mama that called me that night and said that. And I said, no, I'm no more of a preacher. However, I do feel a little more qualified to do what I've done. But that verse, or do what I do, that verse is to everybody tonight. Every person sitting in here should study the Word of God. Amen. Just don't take man's opinion for it. Study it yourself. He goes on to say in verse number 16, but shun praying or profane and vain babblings. Well, how do you shun profane and vain babblings? You do that by studying the Word of God. How do you know if a man's right or wrong in preaching the Word of God, or teaching the Word of God, or writing about the Word of God, or singing about the Word of God? Is you have to know what the Word of God is. So he says, in order for you to be able to shun those things, you have to study it to know what it is. Verse 17, and their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is these two people right here. I learned that from Brother Joe Author. Of these two people right here. And matter of fact, he said, tell y'all hello, Brother Matt. He called me yesterday and we talked probably an hour on the phone. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you some more about separation tonight. You said, preacher, how do you get separation out of this? Well, he's telling us that we are to shun some people tonight. In other words, we are not to have any, we're to separate from them tonight. Separation is a despised and even hated doctrine today. By so many, and I think one of the reasons that it is because it goes against a prevailing philosophy of unity that's in our day and age today. Today, they want everybody just to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. No matter who you are, no matter what religion you are, no matter what you believe. Now, I believe that we're to love one another, and I believe that shunning or separating from someone can be done decently and in order. I believe that we've got to remember Jude 22, and if some have compassion, making the difference. We'll be back in our study on Sunday night on Jude. I hope you'll be here. But there is a time that we do shun them, or we do separate from them. I'm for loving everybody. The Bible commands us. Didn't say I had to like you, but he does command us. Y'all get that in a minute. Does command us to love everybody. However, I don't have to love their sin. I don't have to approve of their lifestyle, but I can still be kind to them. I can still love them. And you know what? They're never going to care how much we know until they know how much we care. One of the challenges that I face sometimes as a chaplain coordinator is dealing with others that is not of the same religion that I am. If someone requests somebody else, when I'm on a scene or if I'm dealing with somebody, and hypothetically speaking, if they request a pope because they're Catholic, then it's my responsibility to contact that pope and to have him to come out. That don't mean that I have to sprinkle their baby or that I have to say three Hail Marys. I don't even know what they do. I just have to contact them. And you know what? I have a great relationship. Matter of fact, I have a better relationship with some of the people in this county that's not what I am than I do with some of the people that say they are what I am. Are you with me right there? So we can separate and still have the right attitude about it. Some people are so arrogant that they turn the world off. I want to tell you something. If you're arrogant in your separation, you're a Pharisee. And I don't want to be a Pharisee because they're so fair, you see. I don't want to be a Sadducee because they're so sad, you see. You said, preacher, what do you say? I just want to find a balance in this thing. And I believe that we can find a balance in our separation. Separation goes way beyond, hear me right here, it goes way beyond the way I dress. Are you with me tonight? It goes way beyond that, and I hope you're starting to say, I'm not even preaching. This is the fifth or sixth message on separation. I've not said the first thing about dress yet. It goes way beyond that. There's a time that we separate from individuals because of their doctrinal beliefs. Now, let me show you two or three things tonight. We'll see how far we get. Number one, I want you to see this right here. I want you to see the foundation of separation. I believe that we can see the foundation of separation. That word foundation, here's what it means. The basis or groundwork or anything that on which anything stands and by which is supported. In other words, it's what holds it up. Tonight, this building has a foundation. It's on a monolithic slab, but around the edges of this building, it is deeper around the edges where there is a 2x8 that is a ladder truss. You that watch the building go up knows that. And that ladder truss is screwed down in and anchored down in to that foundation. And that is what holds this building up tonight. I remember Dad saying years ago, I guess it was before I was born, we lived in Rhonda. I may have been a little baby, but Mom and Dad built a house there, and Dad decided that he was going to build some pillars, and I don't even know, Jacob, you may have seen the house before. It's right below Uncle Jerry's, but anyway, Daddy was going to build some pillars, and he just went out there, and he decided that he was going to get some mortar and some brick, and he laid those up, and guess what? They ended up falling. Why? Because there was no foundation under it. You can separate all you want to, but if you don't have a foundation for your separation, you're going to end up going right back to what you separated from. You can't separate tonight just because the preacher says do it. Now, I believe that you should respect the man of God, and I believe that you should respect his standard. If he, through the leadership of God, sets a standard for the church, I believe that you should respect that. However, your separation can't be just because a preacher said it. Young people, and there's not many in here tonight, we've got a few young adults in here tonight, your separation cannot be just because mama and daddy said it. There's some things that my kids are not going to do. It's just the way it is. They're not going to do it and live in my home. However, there's some things that I do allow them, more Madeline, and then comes Olivia a little bit, more Madeline than any of them because she's 20 years old now. I allow her to have some freedom and a choice on what she's going to do. And you say, well, she's 20 years old. She can do what she wants to do. You're right, but she's not going to do what she wants to do and live in my house. I'm not going to keep paying the insurance on her car. And matter of fact, I reminded her and Olivia today. I got in Olivia's because she drove my truck today to Galax, to where she's doing her internship with a large animal vet. But anyway, she drove my truck up there because the maps is bigger on the screen. And I got in her car and drove it some today. And I told her at supper tonight, I'd already, she come in late because it's busy. And I told her before I left to come up to the church, I said, hey, we got to talk about something. And she said, why? I said, I had to go get a tetanus shot today. And she said, why? I said, because I drove your car and it was that nasty. And I said, I went to the car wash and cleaned it out somewhat, but it needs the rest of it cleaned out. By the way, I still pay the insurance on it, and I paid for the biggest part of it, so get it cleaned out. Are you with me? And then I looked over at Madeline and I said, I need to go look in yours. She said, probably not. I said, okay then. Are you with me tonight? But there's some things we there's this balance, and some of you old people in here tonight, older, let me say it that way. Some of you older people in here tonight can help me with this. There is a balance that we have to learn in giving our kids freedom. And you say, well, the Bible told me to teach them, and that's exactly right. But I'm going to tell you something. When they get 18, 19, 20 years old, we have to allow them to spread their wings a little bit. If we don't, when the day comes they do get out of our house, they'll not have a clue how to function in society. They'll not have one clue how to do it. But watch this. If Madeline, the only reason she separates is because what I have said, as soon as she moves out of our home, every bit of that separation will go down the drain. There has to be a foundation for separation tonight. There has to be a I can teach her that. But she has to develop a foundation within herself of what that is. Now, what is the foundation of our separation? I thought about this. Tradition is not the foundation of our separation. Tradition is not. Here is a verse. Now, I'm not, it's 7:46. I'm not even going to get off this point tonight. Here is a verse that is taken out of context so many times. And matter of fact, I called my pastor today, which comes to my church now, and I'm his pastor, but I called my dad today, and I was studying, and I said, Dad, I want to read you a verse. And I want to make sure that I understand this verse and I'm taking it in context and not out of context. He said, okay. I said, because I personally think this verse is taken out of context so many times. He said, okay, read it to me. Here it is. Let me read it to you. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And I said, Daddy, so many times I hear preachers say, you hold to the traditions that you've been taught because the Bible says hold to the traditions. He said, well, what's your interpretation of that verse? And I said, well, I think you've got to study the whole epistle in context. You got to study who Paul is writing to, the church at Thessalonica. You have to go back to 1 Thessalonians and read all of it. You've got to read chapter 1 and chapter 2, and you got to understand what you cannot just take one verse and take off with it. And I said, I believe in all of my heart. This didn't come out of a commentary, but the Bible did say this. If a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men freely. And I said, God, I want understanding on it. And I said, this is what I believe about it. And he said, okay, let me have it. I said, I believe Paul is saying you hold fast to sound doctrine. You hold fast because the verse is prior to it, and he even talks about the epistle, which is the writing. He's saying this, you hold fast to sound doctrine. And a lot of times preachers will say this, if you was taught that it's traditionalism, you stick to it. No, sir. If it's traditionalism without sound doctrine, it ain't right. If you cannot take the Word of God, come on now, don't die on me. I'm going to teach unless I need to bear down and preach. If you cannot take the Word of God and show me, it's not sound doctrine. It's traditionalism. Are you in? There's so many. Preacher, I thought you was preaching on separation. I am, but there's got to be a foundation for it. There's got to be a foundation for it. There is some things, there is some standards that I have that is a personal preference of mine. Can I take a Bible and give you chapter and verse for that personal preference? No. But it's something that God instilled in my heart. Am I going to stand up and preach that personal preference? Absolutely not. Let me tell you the reason why I can't give you chapter and verse on it. It is a preference. It is not. Are you hearing me tonight? We've got to have Scripture if we're going to stand up and preach it and teach it. Where is it at in the Bible? Where I'll give you one. I'll give you one, and I'm going to move on, but I'll give you another verse. It's taken out of context so many times. They want to go to the book of Deuteronomy, and they want to pull the verse out, let not a man put on a woman's apparel or a woman put on a man's apparel. And they say, if a woman's wearing pants, she's lost and she's going to hell. Well, honey, do you really think that they was walking around in blue jeans in the book of Deuteronomy? Manners and customs. We, church, we've got to study the Bible in context. What is modest apparel? That's a whole other message within itself. What is modest apparel? Well, I'm just going to say this to you. And here's what the legalist will say. Well, I'm not going to go to a place that you have to do that. Are you with me? But if my wife's going to be walking up open bleachers that somebody can walk under, then is a skirt the most modest thing she can wear? I'm just talking to you tonight. Hey, this is Amazing Grace. We can talk like this. I pastor here. Are you with me? We have to have a found. Where is the Bible? And when it comes to our separation, church, there has to be foundations to that. If we're going to pull away from somebody, if we're going to, and the Bible does talk about, I may get there and I may not. Their Bible does talk about. When we separate from them and we have nothing to do with them. The Bible even says right here that we shun them. We shun them. But if we're going to shun them, you better have the Bible for it. You better have the Bible for it. Well, preacher, I don't think you should sing this or you should listen to this or you should listen to that. Let's go back to the Bible. Matter of fact, my daughter, Madeline, and I and her mama was having a conversation on Tuesday night, I think it was. No, last night it was Monday night. We was having a conversation. And Madeline was talking just as hard as she could go. I was listening, trying my best to process it all. Her mama was trying to talk, and when they both get in one of them moods, man, I need a faster processor than they make today. And Madeline made this statement. She said, it just don't make sense. I'm confused. And I stopped her and her mama both. I said, whoa, stop right there. Don't say another word. Y'all with me? Y'all know what you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Brother Brian? I said, just stop right there. I said, we're going to go back to the Bible. What did the Bible say about confusion? Our foundations. What did the Bible say about the confusion? That who was the author of it? Satan was, the devil was, and God was not the author of it. I said, right there is your answer. God just used the Bible to answer what you're talking about. If you're confused about this situation, it is not of God. So our foundation must be the Scripture tonight. Now, watch this. The foundation of our separation. There has to be a strong knowledge of the Bible. What did he say in verse 15? He said this, before you shun, he said this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There must be a strong knowledge of the Bible. Without this, the Christian cannot know the truth from error. The truth from, have you ever heard a preacher preach something and you thought, You know what I'd do? There has been times that people and some of our even young preachers that are now out pastoring, that's not young preachers anymore, has preached things in a pulpit at Amazing Grace, and afterwards we sat down and talked about it. You say, well, you wouldn't do that. Well, God called me to pastor the church, and God put those young preachers here out of our church. And you know what? If they're erring, if they're going wrong in that, if they're misinterpreting the Word of God, then I think it's the pastor's place. There has been very few times that I've sat down with Sunday school teachers because people's come to me and said, hey, wait a minute, they taught this, and I just think that's plumb in left field. And you know what I've done? I've sat down with them before and said, hey, take the Bible and show me what you taught. Take the Word of God and prove to me what you said was right. And if you can, then we'll move on. But if you can't, I'm going to take the Word of God and prove what you said was wrong. Now, I didn't make those young preachers stand by. I didn't embarrass them. I didn't say, they get too far off in left field, I'll set them down. You say, would you really set up, if he's in left field and he's preaching something, Brother Charles, that ain't even nowhere close to the Word of God? Yes, sir, in a heartbeat, I'll stand up and say, hey, looky here, I appreciate the Word tonight, but I think our service is coming to a close. Come to the piano, somebody, and play softly, and then I'll talk to him after service. We have to have a knowledge of the Bible. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We've got to have the Bible to back us up. I've already made mention of this verse, but he said this in James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. I like to read. There's nothing wrong with reading commentaries. I've got probably over 1,000. There's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy reading. Matter of fact, today, just on verse number 15, 16, and 17, I can't tell you how many different people over the past few days that I've read after on that, seeing what they said about it. I read after a bunch on Thessalonians because some people, it's in a different field than I am on that. But I'm telling you, if we don't have sound doctrine, the traditions that he's talking about is sound doctrine. It's the Word of God. But watch this, the greatest commentary on the Bible tonight, church, is the Bible. It's the Word. You want me to tell you my favorite thing to read about the Bible? The Bible. I said this Sunday night, the book of Jude and 2 Peter go hand in hand together. I got a new book in the mail today. It's an old book. I'm surprised that I found it. But on Peter, and it's in, or not Peter, but on Jude. And I was skimming through it today, and it has two or three pages where it compares 2 Peter and Jude. And it's very interesting. But this is the greatest commentary that you'll ever find on the Word of God. Let me tell you, the greatest tool in our Bibles today, if yours don't have it, I would buy one that did. If you'll look in my Bible right here, there's what's called a center column reference. And the greatest tool in the Bible is the Bible, and that center column reference is known as cross references. In other words, you can read, and if you'll read, every once in a while, you'll see that there's this little letter up above a word. And you probably thought before, I wonder why that little letter's up above that word. Is it you partakers? Because partakers in my Bible right above it has a little you. No, it has nothing to do with you. If you look in the center column, you'll find a you, and there's other verses at that you. And when you look those other verses up, guess what? It's verses that go hand in hand with that verse and with that word. And let the Bible speak for the Bible. That's good preaching if I'm doing it tonight. Let me tell you the reason it's important to come to Sunday school, because you learn about the Word of God. We got great Sunday school teachers, and you're going to learn about the Bible. Let me tell you the reason it's important to come to church Sunday morning, because we're going to preach out of the Bible. Let me tell you the reason it's important to come Sunday night and Wednesday night, because we're going to look at the Bible. Amen. Let me tell you the reason it's important to bring your kids to church, because you're going to learn about the Bible. They're going to learn about the Bible. That we must have a strong knowledge. I read this today. This was from, I think it was 2019, 2020. It says, you will never learn it if you don't read it. A third of Americans who attend a Protestant church regularly, 32%, say that they read the Bible personally every day, 32%. Around a quarter, 27%, say that they read it a few times a week. Fewer say that they only read it once a week, 12%, and a few times a month, 11%, or once a month, 5%. Close to 1 in 8, which is 12%, admit they rarely or never read the Bible. I'm going to ask you a question now. How much have you read your Bible this week? How much have you read your Bible this week? There's no excuse for not reading our Bible. And I say, well, preacher, I just can't read good. You got a phone. That phone's got apps on it. All you got to do is download the Bible app, put it on King James, and let it read it to you. Are you let it read it to you. I do that a lot. Personally, some people will, and there's times when I want to go through the New Testament in 7 days or something, and in those times, I will just listen to it. That's all I do, because you have to listen to so much to get it in. You say, well, preacher, that's crazy. No, you'll never go wrong listening to the Bible. You'll never go wrong listening to the Bible. You say, do you comprehend all? It don't matter if I comprehend it all or not. You never go wrong listening to the Bible. Matter of fact, some of us has done a challenge before to listen to the Bible in 40 days, and you can do that. You can do that. But watch this. If it's my normal daily Bible reading, I listen to it, but I listen to it with my Bible. I sit down, I open the Word of God, and I listen to it with that. So there's no excuse for not reading our Bible. There is none tonight. We can listen to it. We can read it. We can have somebody read it to us. There's no excuse. Now, how much have you read your Bible this week? How much have you read the Word of God? Man, the Word of God will speak to you. I remember when I was sick, and I try not to say much about that, but I remember when I was sick, one thing that I'd done, my mind was so jacked up. And still is half the time. But anyway, my mind was, I was a mental case, man. I'm telling you, I didn't know what was happening. I'm telling you, I was a mental case for a few days. And I just lay on the bed and cry. And I'd think to myself, well, I guess I know how my wife feels every once in a while now. But I'd lay on the bed. I'd just cry over nothing, Brother Sean. I'd just find myself laying there. Just, I mean, squalling and crying and snotting. And I'm losing my mind. And you know what I'd do? I'd just listen to the Bible. I'd just listen to the Bible. I'd put the Bible on. I'd put Psalms on. Or I'd put Proverbs on. And they was days for hours. I just let the Word of God play in my ears. I just listened to the Word of God. And let me tell you what, you'll find peace out of the Word of God. You'll find praise out of the Word of God. You'll find stability out of the Word of God. Your foundation for separation must come from a strong knowledge of the Word of God. But watch this. It also, it's 8:02. I'm right now done. A testing mindset. A testing mindset. What did he say? He said to rightly divide the Word of God. That implies that we constantly distinguish between truth and error. The Bible said this in Psalms 119, 127, 128. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I hate every false way. Well, how did he come to hate those false ways? Because of the precepts of God. Here's what he said in Proverbs 14, 15. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his is going. Here's what he said in Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Tell you what they done. They had a strong foundation, and that foundation was the Word of God. Miss Stingle, you come start playing softly. Our foundation for separation tonight, church, we've got to be able to back it up by the Word of God. What does the Bible say? If we're going to shun somebody, we better have Bible to back it up. If we're going to push them away, and I say more about that as we talk about the method of separation, to plainly identify those that err, to separate from those that err, then the reason for separation, we'll look at that. But it all goes back to this tonight, church. Why do we separate? It must be a foundation in the Bible. It must be a foundation in the Bible. I'm trying to be careful because I really don't want to say nothing out of the way. But let me tell you the reason. Let me tell you the reason that over 70%, there's a book written that's called Already Gone. I'm almost positive that's the name of it. I can look in Kindle and tell you. But it talks about mainly like the 18 to 21 and 21 to 25 year olds. It's a very interesting book. And it talks about out of the Baptist churches, which it's a survey of not just independents, but it talks about how over 70%, once they reach adulthood that grew up in that, leaves the Baptist church, and the majority of them leave church and never come back again. And it talks about why they do that. It's a very interesting book. I don't agree with everything in it, but it's got some good thoughts in it. Let me tell you the reason that's happening today. Here's the reason that's happening. Because young people are just taking God for mom and daddy's God. They're just taking the Bible for mom and daddy's Bible. And they're not establishing what they believe and why they believe. I carry a King James Bible tonight. I'm King James from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. But I'm not King James tonight because my daddy is. That's not the reason I'm King James tonight. Let me tell you the reason I'm King James tonight, because there come a time in my life I wanted to know why I was King James only. That is one of the most attacked things right now when it comes to preachers. It's this of being KJV only. I believe that God preserved His Word. Amen. I believe it's holy. I believe it's inspired. I believe it's the preserved, inerrant Word of God right there for English-speaking people. For English-speaking people. You say, well, what about the other languages? That's a whole other topic. But for English-speaking people. Let me tell you the reason I am that. It's because I sat down for about a month and studied the differences. And I said, God, show me why my daddy and my grandpa that was a preacher and my great-great-grandpa John that was a preacher, show me why they are like this. And you know what God done? God done exactly what I asked Him to do. I studied it with an open heart and an open mind to truth, and God showed me. I'm telling you, there's a difference in them. There's a difference in them. They take the blood out. They take the virgin birth out, and I could go on and on. But I'm that way because I have a foundation tonight that Daddy didn't lay, but that the Word of God laid. Yeah, Daddy said this is what you need to be. But there come a time that I had to choose for myself what my family was going to be, who I was going to be. One of the greatest things, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me and in the ministry was to move out of Yadkin County. Because when I come to Surrey County, I become my own man. I wasn't Alan Barker's son no more. I become my own man. And I established, Brother Brian, some doctrines and some hills that I'm willing, Brother Matt, to die on. I'll raise the flag and I'll die on those hills, and a King James Bible is one of them. Not because of, I'll be more than glad. Get Gail Replinger's book. She lives here in Mount Airy. Get her book and read it. Read her book on New Age Bible versions. Man, there's people died. William Tyndale died at the stake. King James wasn't the first one. William Tyndale died at the stake. He was burned at the stake for our Bible. the foundation of our separation tonight has to be the Word of God. We've got to know it, church. We need to study it. We need to learn it. Amen. Father, as we